When you find a deal on your favorite thing in the McDonald's app and order it, does that technically count as online shopping? Save money with the app. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
At participating McDonald's, prices may vary.
And we are live. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, on this birthday edition of Ruffino and Joe Show.
Normal show. It's a normal show. It's a normal show.
And happy birthday. How are you today on your pleasant birthday?
I'm great. It's a normal Wednesday. It is a work day.
Your birthdays are never normal.
I'm not a big birthday guy.
Into your mid-30s, but then they become very normal.
I think we talked about this last year because you tried to make a big deal out of it, and then I poo-pooed it. I don't know why. I'm not a big birthday guy, Blake. I'm just never been super into it. I appreciate everyone who says happy birthday to me, though, so thank you for doing that, and anyone who said it on Twitter. You don't need to show this picture. I see you doing it in the background. You're not going to put it on the screen. I can literally please. Oh, for the love of God.
Are you 100% sure that you're not a birthday guy?
Yeah,
because
I'm sure.
Look, there's been some very cringy things today. Like, so we're gonna talk about one, Eli Drinkwitz. It was worse as Brian Kelly doing the little guitar thing during a recruiting visit. But I gotta know, are you really not a birthday guy? I mean, the God's honest truth is, Joe, look at you right here.
I've sent this to you a number of times, and after I wore it, it was Halloween 2 years ago. Anyone who knows who Joe Burrow is knows what I was trying to recreate. And I said this to you pre-show, that this was probably one of my most appreciated Halloween costumes, because a lot of random guys came up to me and said, "You're supposed to be Joe Scheisty?" And I said, yes. So this was a good fit, damn it.
Well, here's where you went wrong. First off, Joe Burrow would never wear Dirty Forces. Now, I don't know if the picture.
Dirty? Those are clean. It's just the lighting.
Okay, I'll give you that, but they look dirty.
They're not dirty. I will go grab them. I'm looking at
better pants, though. Like, Joe Burrow does not wear green pants.
Those aren't green. Those are gray. You need your eyes checked, okay? You're coming in here trying to shit on me.
Green to me.
Those are gray pants
to me, Joseph.
If you're gonna come out swinging with that, you better.
I mean, it's birthday drip. I mean, at least they called you Joe Scheisty. At least they didn't call you Jeffrey Dahmer like they did the year before.
Yeah, one of my a-hole friends, Joe Serralo, who is also a host in this industry, a sports betting guy, he was with me that night, and he saw that how many people were giving me props for the costume. So he went up to a couple of people and said to him, "Hey, go ask him if he's supposed to be Jeffrey Dahmer or not." And that really ruined my night. I got really pissed off at him. Not actually, but
no,
that did actually happen.
Yeah, you got pissed off. Don't.
Oh, we were drunk. It wasn't like a real pissed off. It was like a "hey man, screw you" kind of a thing.
Okay, sure. But we will talk about the cringy thing, and then Lane Kiffin, you know, getting involved here. I do think that it's harmless. Look, the kid might go to Clemson. I don't give a shit what you do if the kid goes to your school. Whatever you got to do to get in there, do it. Well, also, somebody who else is very cringe and is the head coach sometimes, we'll do our Clemson deep dive. Joe, I got to admit something, man. They got a lot returning, does Clemson. They got a lot of departures. They also got a lot returning, too. How about this? Number two in the ACC in returning production is the Clemson Tigers.
That surprises the hell out of me, because they're also just – they're losing a lot. They lost a lot to the draft. They put out a lot of important players to the draft. A number of their key secondary pieces left in the
Nate
portal.
Wiggins, Trotter, and then you had
Makuba, Toriano Pride left in the portal, went to Mizzou. So they're going to be an interesting discussion. I don't think they're going to be fall off of a cliff bad. I'm not going to do that and fall off a cliff for Clemson's like 8-4. But it could be a bumpy ride again. You know, it could be a real.
Could they get to 10-2?
I think that they could get to 10-2, but I don't think that they make the playoff.
I think this is going to be a very interesting discussion because I think that you and I are going to agree on a lot of stuff. But there's another team in the ACC who had a pretty good year last year that no one talked about in NC State. So, listen, I'm not saying – look, the ACC was very bad last year. However, there were some really good teams in the conference. Obviously, Florida State led that. But you got Miami. What does Clemson do? And NC State, a 10-3. I think 10-3. I know they're 9-3 in the regular season. I don't remember their bowl game. But 9-3 in the regular season last year. Here come one of the school, one of the like the six schools in P4 that don't have an S at the end of their mascot. The North Carolina State Wolfpack.
That's a good trivia little tidbit. Yeah, I don't think a lot of people give NC State enough credit. And this is another – this is one of a couple teams that I don't think are on many people's radars to just talk about in the sphere of who could be ranked, who could go to the playoff, all of those things. The other one that we're going to do probably pretty soon, Blake, is Virginia Tech. Virginia Tech is better than a lot of people realize. You mentioned that returning production statistic. Virginia Tech brings back like most of their key players. Not a lot of guys were drafted. Not a lot of guys left to go in the portal. And their quarterback's not bad. So this NC State Virginia Tech thing going on, they're both sneaky good. The real ball knowers know to know about NC State and Virginia Tech.
Well, and not only that, I think the question becomes, is the ACC a little – well, how do I want to ask this? Joe, do we start having a serious conversation from top to bottom that they're not better than the Big Ten?
I don't think that they're better than the Big Ten, but I think in 2024, the ACC will rival what the Pac-12 did this past year.
Well, the Pac-12 there's gonna be a lot of really good teams in the country last year from a just pure ball.
I don't think that they were better than the SEC, but I think that just like if we're talking general production, yeah, they were technically in the conversation. Yeah, you know what? I'll go that far. I take that back. I do agree with you. I think that the ACC could be argued that they're
quarterbacks drafted in the first eight picks.
You know what's really ironic too? And now that I bring up the Pac-12 part of this, there's a possibility this could be the last year of the ACC if shit hits the fan with this whole realignment thing, and this could be their best year in the past decade. We could have six teams that we're talking about as ranked ACC teams
and borderline playoff teams, which I think we're going to talk about too tonight. So it's going to be a very interesting show. We go to the East Coast and South Carolina. We go on the East Coast and North Carolina as well. So we're going to get to that. So we got
what? Something just break?
No, it might, but we'll see about that. One thing that did break was Deion Burks, wide receiver, Oklahoma. Yeah, drunk driving. Kids don't drive drunk.
LSU related or is it college football related?
It's college football. Well, it a little bit of both, but it would affect everybody. Well, look. It's not worth it. I thought it was. It's not. Okay. Like,
all right. Text it to me after we hit the break.
It's so insignificant.
Okay. All right.
All right. Let's get rolling. Everybody do us a favor by hitting the like and share. If you're on Facebook, share to all those groups, share to all of those social media pages. You're watching us, listening to us on YouTube. Like, subscribe, notification bell, wherever you listen to podcasts, rate, review, and subscribe. Joe, let's talk about our good friends over at Bet Online. You could also go over to our good buddies over at Caffeine and watch the show tonight if you would like as well. But so many different places you can watch. Let's talk about our good buddies at Bet Online. We come back. Eli Drinkwitz, don't be that cringy. Next. Wrong. Bet Online is the fastest and easiest way for you to wager on all of your favorite sports, contests, events, with the first to market odds and lines. Find reviews for all the news for each league, including Major League Baseball, NFL, NBA, NHL, combat sports, college sports, esports, and even golf. BetOnline continues to be the top online resource for all of your sports information for live, in-game betting, props, and futures. Head on over to BetOnline today and use your mobile device to join and make your first sports bet. Use our promo code BELIEVE50, that's BELIEVE50, B-L-E-A-V, 50, to receive your 50% off welcome bonus on your first deposit. That's betonline.ag. Betonline.ag.
We're back.
All right. Let's get things rolling. Joe, very interesting day today as some SEC coaches were going back and forth, and it's not ironic, but it is funny. Mm-hmm. Last week we had mentioned about the SEC coaches and the text thread that they're in that, you know, was like, who would be the two guys that would be in this text thread that would be going back and forth with one another? Well, they went back and forth with each other today on social media. So if you hadn't seen the clip, Eli Drinkwitz is like playing a guitar in a recruiting video, which then got Lane Kiffin involved. And he said, I thought Brian Kelly was bad, but this might be even worse. Your thoughts on this cringiness?
Yeah, we need to – can we stop it with the props, please? Can we just stop it with these stupid videos? Like, how many more do we need to get of these of these guys? So awkward. It's so awkward. I will say, and I said this to you pre-show, Brian Kelly's was much more awkward than the Eli Drinkwitz one, because I think that Eli Drinkwitz is very self-aware and knows that he's being goofy. I don't think that BK was aware of how weird he looked when he recorded his.
It got him Harold Perkins.
Did
so,
it?
Yeah, Harold Perkins was there that weekend that he did the gritty and the this thing. You know who else was there? Will Campbell, Emory Jones.
I guess it worked. I guess it worked.
The thing is, you might need to be a little cringy in Gen Z's world today, bro. You're talking about a Fortnite playing. Like, what is it like to be a kid these days?
I mean, I don't know if that would.
I'm
technically Gen Z. I'm technically like I'm like the last cutoff to be Gen Z. I'm telling you right now, I would not have committed based on that. But there it has to have been other aspects of the recruiting visit that got them to commit. I'm sure that was quickly forgotten about.
Their love for Brian Kelly is what I heard.
And it was specifically because of the weird dancing that he was doing.
I guess. I mean, it didn't help. I didn't hurt. But look, I do think that this is funny to mm-hmm. some extent that Eli Drinkwitz. But you know what's the best thing in all this? It's not. It legitimately is not him playing the guitar. It's not Lane Kiffin responding. It's Eli Drinkwitz coming back and like going toe to toe and telling Lane, this shit is cool. You wouldn't know no cool. That's the best part of this, is that Eli Drinkwitz isn't backing down.
We need Lane to come back and to do his own version of it. We need him to do his own on the next recruiting visit. I don't know if they're technically those are past or not. When is the last weekend? I think the past two weekends were official visits.
Yeah, I think it's just the entire month of June. July is the dead period.
Okay. That makes sense.
So, look, I got to admit, I'll pull this up, but Eli Drinkwitz's response to all of this has got to be the outright best. I've never seen somebody, okay, do this and be like he said, bro.
Because he's very self-aware. That's my whole point, is he knows.
That's where I was going. He's very self-aware. Like, so look, this is the comments. Okay, we'll read this to you. Okay, but Lane Kiffin saying, just when I thought BKs couldn't get beat, and then tags Eli Drinkwitz, which he responds, bro, no shame in jamming out to some Creed during a photo shot. And look, Joe, the thing is, the kid's holding up a WWE championship belt.
It's just so collectively stupid. The whole thing is just so it's a weird, awkward riff to then panning over to a recruit awkwardly raising a championship belt.
That's fair, okay? Like, I don't disagree that's fair. But, I mean, if the kid's going to be holding up a WWE wrestling belt, I don't think what Eli did was in, like playing the guitar is not. Oh,
that's such a common prop that they use on recruiting visits on sidelines, is the belt thing. So that, I don't know. It's just so goddamn. It's such a weird world we live in these days with college football.
Well, you know what's crazier than all this? The belts weren't cool until Aaron Rodgers did the discount double check. True. On the touchdowns.
guys used to just show up on their visits, get really, really drunk, and then go home. And then
that's not happening?
No, it is, but like none of this extra frou-frou, you know, like extra, you know, random crap that's thrown in.
These kinds of things happen. It just social media has become so much bigger.
What? No, come on.
When we went on official visits, social media wasn't this big.
Yeah, but there was no photo shoot, really. You know, photo shoots weren't a thing even when I was on my recruiting visit at Rhode Island. My official
Which
visit
was what was last 26, year, right?
2016. It's 2016.
Okay. Well, look, I think it's funny. I'm glad that Drinkwitz it gave him some more points today for me. Like he kind of goes up in my book. Like, all right, man. Look, Eli might have his ways about him, but he seems like I wouldn't mind going and getting a beer with Eli Drinkwitz.
No. No, again, he's very self-aware. He seems like a good time. So, yeah, I mean, I don't hate him.
Well, I mean, you know what's ironic? If you went into acting, you might be able to play Eli Drinkwitz. Y'all kind of...
I don't look anything like Eli Drinkwitz.
Oh, well, the hair, same kind of, you know, hair color, both wear glasses, you know?
There's absolutely no correlation. Absolutely not.
do you think Eli Drinkwitz has worn a turtleneck and tried to look like Joe Shiesty?
I don't know. We got to ask him.
Right, here's a 1,000% certainty. Eli Drinkwitz has at least 10 turtlenecks in his closet.
I would believe that.
Okay.
I would believe that.
he looks like a turtleneck type of fan who eats clam soup. All right. Let's get rolling. Joe, we continue on our deep dives here today. We're going to stay in the ACC. We're going to go to South Carolina, and we're going to go to Clemson. Now, I'm going to start off by just saying this. Joe, I'm kind of surprised at a lot of things that Clemson does have returning when you look at it from a – now, look, here on this show, we are national, so we don't, like, mm-hmm. continue to look at every one team until we get into these deep dives.
Yeah.
Klubnik, Maffa, Brenningstuhl, the number one passer, the number one rusher, and the number one receiver all return – for Clemson. Joe, they got an entire offensive line returning that has, somewhat talented tackles and a lot of seniors in the interior. Barrett Carter returns. You got two of your top three tacklers returning. You have your top two of your top three sack producers returning. So I look at this and say to myself, Joe, are we kind of – underlooking Clemson, and not just that. I think we're going to have to talk about, can that offensive side of the football develop, right? Like, we're going to have to talk about that at length. But if they do get better, so I don't know if they're not a borderline playoff team in this expanded playoffs.
I don't think that we're underlooking them because, look, yes, we were critical, but for a very specific thing towards Dabo Swinney for
which we'll talk about.
And also, by the way, I appreciate this is something that I think always gets misunderstood when we do these deep dives. A lot of fans, we appreciate those that tune in. A lot don't understand the difference of a national perspective preview and like a beat reporter's team blog level of a deep dive team preview. They're very different. Like, we're not going to have the very detailed shit of like who was taking the second team reps during the spring. We're not going to have that stuff. We just can't do that for 50 teams. That's one of my pet peeves when we do these, when you see the comments and the people who tag us on Twitter getting mad over really finite details that we can't really figure out.
Very minute details. I agree.
So what we're talking about here, you mentioned how they're bringing back a lot on defense. I mentioned earlier they're losing a number of players that went in the draft. Ruka Roro was selected early. Nate Wiggins was selected early. Xavier Thomas is gone. Jeremiah Trotter is gone. They're losing those guys. But they're bringing back a lot. They're a deep team. They've always recruited really well on their defensive line and in their front seven and in their secondary. There's a really nice young group of guys that are up and coming. I am never worried about what Clemson does in the trenches and especially on defense. They have consistently, on a year-to-year basis, improved and reloaded. They've always been good on that side of the football. But what has hurt them over the past couple of seasons and last year particularly is that they have not had the production at receiver nor the quality of talent at receiver that they have needed to succeed in a conference that moves the ball really well through the air. This isn't the Big Ten. This isn't the SEC where we see all these ground and pound type teams. And Clemson's frankly not necessarily even built to really do that. I think Phil Moff was a great running back. And I think that Brenningstuhl is one of the most underrated tight ends in the country and a guy that we probably should have put on our top five list. So I kind of regret not putting him on our list.
I agree with that.
But I just don't know what they've got at receiver. And I think that's a fair criticism. All I was going to say is I do know that there is this past recruiting cycle. They did a good job, but these guys are freshmen. Bryant Wesco is one who I'm paying attention to. He's very, very highly recruited, talented receiver.
They are very high on him and think that he can play, right?
Right.
Let me ask you this. Have they had bad quarterback play or bad receiver play?
It's been a perfect storm of both, and also bad play calling. It's been a perfect storm of all three things not working together.
If your quarterback is bad, then the play calling could have been okay, especially last year. Let's be honest. There's no reason that if K Klubnik does not pull that ball and throw it against Florida State, they're going to beat Florida State in the fourth quarter. And I think that we're having a completely different conversation. If you're talking about a 10-2 Clemson who upset Florida State, it's a completely different conversation. Now, they had some bad losses out of that, but at the end of the year, this young team did turn it around. And I think what 5-0 down the stretch of the season, or 5-0 down the stretch of the season. Well, what happened? The Tyler and Spartanburg, or whatever it was called, calls into the show and Dabo goes off. His team starts playing better. I agree with you on receiver play the last couple of seasons, but I also got to say the bigger thing to me has been quarterback play. Now, here's the question that I would ask. At what point do we see a team like Clemson? Because, look, it's one thing, and we'll talk about the portal in a minute, to not go out there and get those type of guys. It's another thing to say that Dabo Swinney hasn't had a track record of development of players. Like, that's not true. Like, one thing that you do have to give him is that. So now my question becomes
– development of defensive players.
I mean, I thought Deshaun Watson developed in front of our eyes. I thought T. Higgins, Taj Boyd.
Yeah, but when is the last time that they've had, like, a premier offensive player since one of those guys?
Probably 2020, 2021. When Lawrence and all of those guys were coming out, like T. Higgins and those guys were coming out. I'm not disagreeing, but Joe, we have a decade plus of him developing that position group, both quarterback and wide receiver. Let's not act like Deshaun Hopkins or Hopkins.
Watson. Jesus Christ.
D-Hop wasn't a receiver. Let's not act like
DeAndre Hopkins
didn't exist. The Rodgers kid didn't exist. I'm not saying that they're there at all. My question, though, becomes, can they develop with this much production returning offensively? That becomes my question. Because are they going to regress? I don't think that they're going to regress.
But the question I'm not asking is if there's going to be a regression. I don't think that there's going to be aggression. But stagnation, to me, is on the table. And if they stagnate, they're the same team as that they were last year. This is what I'm saying. I'm saying here with their defense. I know that they're going to figure the pieces out, and I know that the puzzle is going to be really good on the defensive side of the football. But because of, you know, you're removing Will Shipley, but Phil Moffa steps up as the lead back.
He was their leading rusher last year.
Phil Moffa was really freaking good. He was a really, really good back for them, especially down the stretch, the way that he played. So I know that the run game is going to be good. But again, Bo Collins is out of the equation. He goes to Notre Dame. Who are the guys that are going to step up? Because even if Garrett Riley has more of an open control in the offense and Cade Klubnik is a bit more decisive and makes some better decisions, I didn't think that Cade Klubnik was bad. I think that that was one of the worst descriptions and misdirections of blame for a young kid that he received. For a redshirt freshman, I thought that he did some nice things, and we were so used to Deshaun Watson, Trevor Lawrence, all these guys being phenomenal that he suffered a lot of hate for no reason.
He wasn't worse than DJU.
No, absolutely not. He was better than DJU was as a redshirt sophomore compared to when he was a redshirt sophomore. So that's why I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt. I'm sure he's going to improve. But again, I keep coming back to here. Are their receivers going to be better enough? And I'm not coming on here and saying, Clemson fans, that they won't be better. I don't have any evidence to prove that it will be. I just don't.
This entire offense, to me, goes in one single bubble, development. That's all. Because, Joe, you have three.
Yeah, because they don't go in the portal. So, like, we have to hope that there's development.
Hold on before we get there, because we're going to get there. So hold on with that for just a second. Their roster is who their roster is, okay? My question becomes now for them offensively, Joe, it's all about how good this coaching staff is at this exact moment, how much this team cares about being better. You got three of your top four receivers returning. Three of the four. And I get what you're saying. You got four starting offensive linemen returning. Brandon Stuhl's returning. Klubnik and Mafa are returning. I at what point do we see a team that's 9-3, okay, last year, or 9-4, excuse me, last year? Joe, do they take that next step and get that 10th win? And then I think that we have to change our philosophy and thought process on Clemson. But, Joe, if they've got 10 wins in that conference, when you have Miami, Florida State, NC State, who we'll talk about in a minute, and Virginia Tech, who we think is going to be a riser. At what point does 10-2 not get them in any kind of, not in there, just conversation, right? And we'll talk about portal, but are we 100% sure that they're going to be stagnant?
You know, to give an answer to that, yeah, I think that they're going to be stagnant because I look at the roster, I look at the receiving core. I don't have enough evidence that's going to sit here and tell me that that is going to improve. And as I mentioned, Bryant Wesco is somebody who, whenever I listen to these recruiting pods that I like to tune into, he gets brought up a lot. He gets brought up a lot about somebody who could take a huge step forward for them and be an impact freshman. But you can't solely rely on a freshman to be your receiving production. I will say this, though, if like we're looking at their schedule for next year, they didn't get a necessarily easy draw. So that's where the 10-2 comes into play. And I don't know if they necessarily match up well enough with some of these teams to accomplish 10-2. I think another 9-3 season is more realistic.
All right, explain on that. Continue on. Who are the teams?
Okay. The ones that I highlighted, they play Georgia. And we've got some pretty fun fight going on the YouTube channel in the comments of that game that when we talked about a couple weeks ago. That video's popped off, by the way. They take NC State on at home. They go to Florida State. They play Louisville at home, Virginia Tech at home, and then South Carolina at home. I'm not worried about South Carolina. Yada yada yada. NC State and Louisville are all not easy games.
Well, Georgia for sure. Like they're not beating them. I think like we're so beyond that. But Joe, I look at them: Appalachian State, NC State, Stanford. They got Florida State. Now I'm gonna get back to that one in just a minute. Wake Forest, Virginia, Louisville, Virginia Tech, Pitt, the Citadel, South Carolina. Joe, I could tell you that I feel like there's 9 to 10 teams that they're better than on that schedule. They have.
I think
better talent, especially defensively.
I don't think that there are 9 teams on that schedule that I can sit here confidently on June 12th.
They have more talent than Virginia Tech.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code POD to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code POD at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code POD.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Yes, they've got more talent.
Do they have more talent for sure that you know than Louisville?
Wait. The conversation of if they've got more talent does not always just immediately mean that they're going to
beat them.
Well,
that's what I just said. I think that they're more talented than 10 of those teams. That was the point that I made. So let's not change a goalpost in reference to me just saying, like, I legitimately said, just pure
talent. All right.
Take Dabo's crazy ass out of it.
Okay. I don't think that they're more talented than Georgia and Florida State, though, to this point. And
that's why I say 10-2.
But we're optimistically assuming that they clear through that stretch of mid-tier ACC teams of NC State, Louisville, and Virginia Tech.
I'm not with you on them being stagnant offensively.
What do you have to go off of that they're going
because
to be better
offensively? Because they're returning four of their five offensive linemen. I know you hate this website, but this is not their statistic. It's just a football statistic in general. When four or more offensive linemen return if they started last season, when they return, the running production is up 30% the following year. So,
I already know what the offensive line is like and what the run game is going to be like because we saw it last year.
Okay, so if they get better there, at some point, I do think Kate Klubnik gets better and progresses and makes better decisions. I'm not really ready to throw him out with the bathwater.
Neither am I. I just defended him.
Had a rough season.
I agree
with you on Dabo. What you're really trying to say, at least the way that there's
a very specific thing that I'm trying to say. There is no interpretation.
You don't think that they
I don't think that they have the receivers necessary.
Okay,
for
can
them
I
to
ask you a question without you being mad?
Go ahead.
Do you think that the same for like a Notre Dame?
Stop. We're not talking about Notre Dame. Notre Dame actually went in the portal. They took one of their receivers. So let's not talk about Notre Dame.
Bo Collins,
they have nothing
to
do with this.
We're going to get to them in just a minute, the portal in just a minute. My question is that we've seen teams that do have issues at that position. And I asked you if it's quarterback or receiver. And then your favorite team took one of the receivers that everybody thought was bad. We had discussions.
He was one of their better receivers last year, though.
Me and you had a lot of discussions on Bo Collins last year, and I told you, for example, last year's Florida State game, Joe, the four catches I remember vividly in that game, he had to go up the ladder, the diving catch on the sideline when it's fourth down and Clemson's trying to push to go into the end zone.
Would you argue that he was their best receiver last year?
Oh, without question.
Okay,
But here's the thing. He wasn't the only one that would be wide ass open. I remember in that game vividly, I think it was Herb Street on the call saying, here's an open receiver, here's an open receiver, here's an open receiver. And Klubnik's not making those decisions. All I am saying is I think that he gets better, and I think as an offense they get better. I don't think they're going to be stagnant. So the question
– I think you're being too optimistic here.
That they can go 9-3, 10-2?
No. Wait, hold on a second. This always gets missed when we sit here and argue over this stuff. 9-3 is my projection for them. I think 10-2 is a little too optimistic, but where I'm pointing out where I think you're overly optimistic, again, is this assumption that suddenly their receiving room gets figured out. That is an enormous question mark. Again, we have no evidence to put together an argument that supports that their receiving room will improve in 2024.
I mean, you do have a decade's worth. Okay, so there, I mean, you do. Now, let's get to the portal. I agree with you on what you're saying in reference to the receiver room. I'm not disagreeing. Mm-hmm. And it's why Dabo should be hitting the portal, if we're being honest.
I mean, there were a lot of good receivers, a lot of former four-star, five-star receivers that, you know, he claims aren't good enough for him. But in actuality, there are guys that could have at least come in as competition, that could have at least come in as bodies, as depth. That's a problem.
No, I mean, listen, I'm not going to disagree with that. Even defensively, you know, like I don't think that his philosophy and not going in the portal is going to benefit him easily at all. But if you're saying 9-3 is realistic for them, that means that my opinion of 10 more talented teams than him could suffice. Now, I would agree with you on this. Joe, they're not going to get back to where they were, and we'll have this conversation every single year. They're not going to get back to where they were if they don't hit the portal. And that's just the facts behind it. So if they're 9-3, they're in the exact same position they were last year. If they're 10-2, they're a game better. So I don't think it's overly optimistic on them that I think they might win a game or more better. But until they go into the portal, that's about all they're going to be.
I stand with that point. You know, I stick behind that this is what's holding them back. They are a team that is consistently good at developing and producing talent at a number of positions, as we've talked about, especially on the defensive side of the football. So we could come in every single year knowing that they're going to be really good on defense. They've got this one kid at defensive tackle who was a rotational player who has serious NFL interest as a early day two pick, even as a first round pick. And I'm talking about DeMonte Capehart, who is like a freak, 6'5", 320 pounds. He is a demolishing kid. He's going to be their next big defensive tackle. Like, they've got bodies there. Well, but all these other teams that they're competing with at the top of the ACC had issues on their roster, hopped to the portal, found guys to fill them, and didn't just rely on high school recruiting. You can't anymore in college football when you have a roster hole just slowly wait and develop guys. You can't.
I will say this. You talked about their defensive line. Look, TJ Parker's a kid that was a freshman last year, had 5.5 sacks, okay? And you're adding a big-time defensive tackle into the mix here. Joe, I just don't think people, when they talk about – I think when they talk about Clemson, they look and say, oh, this is a bad loss, that's a bad loss. We all agree that these are bad losses, but they're bad losses based off of where they were 4 years ago. Right? They're bad because, look, they were in the playoff 4 years ago. So I look at them and say, I think that they are somewhat ironically, and what might be the most frustrating to them as Clemson fans, I do think that they could be on the preface if they are just go back into the portal. They could get back to where they were. Like, I think that they're talented enough that if they go and add, if they would have gone and added the kid from North Texas, okay?
Yeah, that's a good point. They added Jamori Macklin.
Right. So the question becomes, if they would have added those pieces, I think that you would have come in here and said to yourself, okay, I could see 10-2. I could see them losing to Georgia, losing to Florida State, and that being the end of it.
You love to give me shit when I bring up hypotheticals. I mean, like, this is such a fat hypothetical that wasn't going to happen.
No, but we're talking about Dabo going into the portal. How more hypothetical can we be? I have to paint a scenario because it's a scenario because the head coach won't do it.
Yeah, so
you know, it's a hypo. It's like
it's almost a moot point, like talking about it because you're not going to do it.
It's kind of like, what was that movie with Leonardo DiCaprio where he had to spin the cap to see if he was in the reality or
Inception.
I feel like when you're telling me don't get hypotheticals. Well, I'm in Inception with Dabo going into the portal.
It's never going to happen. and look, I will give him credit. Last recruiting cycle, they did a good job at getting some more premier receiving talent. But waiting a couple of years doesn't solve their problems for 2024. very rarely do freshman receivers explode onto the scene. It's just not a common thing that happens.
No, it's not. It legitimately isn't. I mean, I'm trying to think of one. Can you
NC State actually has a kid that we're about to talk about in
Casey
Concepcion, who's a freaking dog. But that's probably the easiest one I can think of.
It's what makes you a star, because you know how to lead into the next point here. Joe, we continue in our deep dives and stay actually in the ACC. We go to North Carolina State, who, Joe, at the end of the year, it's ironic, you and I were talking about, because we did game picks, and we picked between NC State and North Carolina that week. And you know what, man? You look up, and here's a fight and battle to see which North Carolina team is going to be 9-3 at the end of the year. You know, it's funny, in the beginning of last year, if me and you would have had a conversation of a team that might be pushing on the 10 wins, me and you probably would have said that it's North Carolina with Drake May. No, it was NC State. So we go and talk about the Wolfpack. What do you think about them when you look at them going into the season?
Yeah, another team that I think fits that definition of, and I mentioned Virginia Tech in the open, kind of reminds me of them in the sense that they bring back a lot of their important players, and they did a pretty good job in the portal of really rounding out their roster. So they added Noah Rogers. Jordan Waters was a really good running back for Duke last year. He was really productive. Mm-hmm. I think the biggest part of this, it felt like NC State was a team that was a quarterback away from really hitting their stride. And Grayson McCall, has played a million snaps. He's like the Bo Nix light with how much goddamn football that this kid has played at Coastal Carolina. And here he is going on to play at NC State. I think that this offense that was already strong, that was led by Casey Concepcion, there was inconsistency at quarterback, a couple of different guys bouncing in. Put Grayson McCall in. The run game with Waters is going to be great. Concepcion's going to be catching passes from Grayson McCall. Zeke Corral from Notre Dame is going to be blocking up the middle, who was formerly a really highly recruited kid. Dude, this team, man, the real ball knowers know. I'm not coming in here saying that they're better than Clemson before the Clemson fans get mad. But this is a top five team in the ACC, bare minimum.
I completely agree. Dude.
Good for once.
Dude. I'm borderline with you. I know you well enough to know you really want to have the bold take and say that they could be a surprise team last year. You know, we always, since TCU happened, right, the last 2 years or last...
I'm not going to go that far. I'm not that coked up. Okay?
Really, really, since Cincinnati, what, you know, during summer content has become, who's the next Cincinnati? Who's the next TCU? I'm not saying a 9-3 team last year, okay? It's just going to come out of nowhere. I don't think you could say that about NC State. I don't know.
Next Louisville, I think that's the better comp.
Okay, that is fair. They might be Louisville and fight for the ACC. Who knows what happens there? I agree with you on one big point. When you talk about Grayson McCall coming in, look, a guy that I think a lot of people were always interested to see, if he got to a better situation, what he would look like. Now he's there. Jordan Waters pickup, though, brother, might be one of the best pickups that no one talks about. So you add Concepcion, you have Noah Rogers that you also added. The question that I have, though, Joe, is them defensively. I don't know. Like, what are you doing at your other linebacker spot? I know you brought in Wyatt Wright. I know that you brought in some other guys like Corey Cooley, okay? But so you brought in, I think, six guys that you think that might start from the portal defensively or potentially could. My question becomes, are they going to be a little disoriented with that many portal pieces that they're expecting to start?
I'm not really totally worried about their defense, because I thought that their defense was pretty strong and consistent and well-coached last year. It's not a team that has like tremendous premier talent. There was a time where they were putting out a lot of really good defensive linemen.
They always had that one edge rusher that'd be borderline top five pick, like Mario Williams and
Wait, you're thinking North Carolina.
No, Mario Williams was at NC State.
What? No, he wasn't.
You want to place a small little wager?
Am I thinking of somebody? No, he was at... Wait.
NC State.
He was at NC State. Yeah. Uh-huh. Why did I think he was at...
You're probably thinking of Julius Peppers.
I'm thinking of Julius Peppers. That's why. Okay. Well, he was a first overall pick.
Yeah, I mean, which... Again, North Carolina always has those freak basketball-like dudes coming out of nowhere and being really good defensive ends. I always like a DN that wears number 1-2. And when you look at NC State, Davin Vaughn, okay, wears number 1. I love a fat dude that wears a single digit. I love it. You know what else? They got another dude in their front seven in Sean Brown that wears number 0. Best defense in college football. Best defense.
And on a more serious note, I think here's the biggest part of all this. They have, and we talked about Syracuse having a favorable schedule. NC State might have the easiest schedule out of any of these ACC teams. The only games that like really caught my attention. They avoid Florida State. They avoid having to play Notre Dame. They avoid having to play Miami. They play Tennessee at home. They go to Clemson, and they go to North Carolina. You lose all three of those games, you're still 9-3. The rest of their schedule is very favorable to them. Read it.
I mean, look, West Carolina, you have in there, like you mentioned, Tennessee, Louisiana Tech at Clemson. You know that. Look, we just got done talking about them. That could be tough. But after that, Joe, I mean, Northern Illinois, Wake Forest, what is Syracuse? You know what I mean? Like, what is Syracuse at that point with a new coaching staff? Here's one that I did circle. Cal.
They got Jay Knott. Who else do they have? I'm not worried about Cal.
I don't like 18 to 21-year-old kids flying that far across country. I don't think they're going to do well with it. I really don't.
You're overthinking that.
Regardless, Duke at Georgia Tech at North Carolina. Joe, you could look up and them be 10-2, and it would be the least shocking thing to me of all time, to be honest with you.
Yeah, well, this is where, and another thing that gets often misunderstood, I think, when we do these, A projection for one team is different than a projection for the other because
they're not created equally.
It's not just describing and painting this picture of what their roster is. It's also understanding who they're facing. They're playing the middle to the back end.
You don't like that Syracuse? You don't think Syracuse could be a little team that could test them?
I think they test them. I don't think they're beating them. I think that Syracuse is going to be your way from like
beating them. Well, then who are the three teams that beat them?
That's where I'm coming at. Like three, they would have to lose to Tennessee, Clemson, and North Carolina, all three of them, and play poorly in all three of those games. You would have to, like, that's what's crazy here. There's really only three losable games, and more often than not, when you've got a good, well-coached football team with a veteran core, they're not going to lose all three of them.
I'm sure NC State fans would tell you that there's always probably that one game that they're supposed to win and don't, but I don't know. There's nobody else besides Tennessee that I'm just like gung-ho. And I mean, even Clemson, Joe.
Yeah, Clemson could be a close game. They could find a way to win that football game.
And
If they do, then we're having a really, really interesting conversation.
So that goes to my point that I started off this segment with. When I look at you and say, hey, is this team do they have a perfect setup to be the next TCU?
Yeah, they kind of do.
Momentum could be a scary ass thing, brother. This team thinks that they're better than they are. They don't have a tough schedule. They get tested a little, but not much. They play Tennessee early in the year, which is going to be a barometer for this team. I don't know.
Here's the only thing, though, that I think the question does need to be brought up. Say they go on this immaculate run, they benefit from the easy schedule, they go on, I think it'd be likely that they lose the ACC championship game.
Oh yeah, I don't think that they're going to win the conference. But,
yeah, I don't think they're good enough to win.
You know
the
what?
ACC.
You know what? Neither did TCU.
Nah, that was a very different circumstance. That was a really different.
Did TCU win their conference?
Well, you're saying that they okay. I thought you were implying that they couldn't have won their conference.
No, I mean they didn't.
Literally,
I mean,
yeah, they didn't.
They didn't win their conference.
Expanded playoff. They could go
in the playoff. You look at them and say, "Hey, there is Joe. There's a realistic shot that they can be in a playoff." And as crazy as that sounds, now they would have to hit certain milestones. They would have to, you know, get through a lot, okay, and prove people wrong.
They might not have enough ranked wins. That's the only thing that might end up hurting them in this.
Neither did Louisville. I mean, Louisville beat Notre Dame. I mean, no disrespect.
That was the only one that they had, yeah.
That's the only one that they had. They lost to Florida State, and then they got embarrassed in the bowl game. So, look, it lines up perfectly. Joe, go listen to our Louisville deep dive from last year.
We're a very similar tone.
It's
very,
a
very,
very
similar
tone. It's a very similar tone. So we'll see. David Suggs says DeMonte Capehart.
Yeah, that was who I was referring to earlier. I ended up correcting myself. It was Capehart. That kid's freaking good. I watched his tape the other day. He's got a really high grade from Bless, though. I was really surprised, but he barely played last year. It was very strange. Rotational early.
It's like play calling issues or not knowing what to do.
I don't totally know. I was talking to Ryan about this because they had a lot of veteran guys like Tyler Davis, Rick Aurora. They went on to the NFL this past year. They got drafted, but like he's still better than the both of them. He's a physical freak. It's almost like they didn't know what to do with him and they didn't want to, you know, shortchange the upperclassmen that were there before him.
Remember the we're going to reference this Florida State game again. Remember, like, the play that Herbstreit circled him on that play call when he was on the call for that game? Do you remember that?
I think so.
And basically just saying, like, he wasn't trying to rip about what they were doing with him, but just basically saying, like, hey, I think he's out of position. And you know how Herbstreit is, He's kind of like, "Hey, I'm going to call you out, but I'm going to be as gentle as possible doing it." Like, what are you doing with him? So, yeah, we'll see. You know, we'll see on NC State. Anything else about them that you look at and say that? Look, Grayson. Let's finish this up with Grayson McCall very quickly. What's a realistic thing of him coming into NC State and actually things adjusting? You know, like, Joe, I don't know. You know, like, you always have those really good G5 mid-major quarterbacks. He goes to NC State. Does it translate?
Well, that's where I think the question does come into play of, like, is this a guy who all the snaps are great, all the experience are great, he's a great college quarterback, and he fits exactly what a team like NC State needs, but – and he's gotten NFL looks, not like high draft pick looks, but he's gotten looks. You do have to ask yourself, is he going to step up to the plate playing more difficult competition? It is a big jump. It's not an easy comparable jump to just immediately become
highly
competitive.
He does get a favorable schedule with some really good receivers.
That's what's going to help him. But that's what, if there's like one contingency point that holds him back, is that Grayson McCall is not as good as we think that they are. And he was just beating the shit out of a bunch of G5 kids. It's not like he was like a world beater. He was a really good quarterback, but like he wasn't like a unreal.
You know what he really feels like to me? I know you're going to hate this comparison. The Diet Coke version of your boy at Utah.
Cam Rising?
Cam Rising, long hair.
He's a better, much better athlete than Cam Rising.
Oh, well, true, but Cam Rising also like is old enough. Like he broke a hip last year. He tore his ACL. You know, like I mean, Cam Rising's 72 years old. But in all honesty, he's the Diet Coke version.
I don't know if I like that comp.
They both have long hair. They both wear 10.
That's it. That's all you're going for is they both have long hair. That's all we got.
I like that comp.
I don't know about that. But yeah, there's a lot that rides on. He
does have a really good receiver room, though, man. If he gets time, if his O-line can give him time, I think he can cook a little.
We were getting some shit for
what?
For our Utah optimism that we had in that segment. I noticed that the other day that people were giving us a hard time for that.
I mean, I don't think we gave them a lot of. I mean, who's better than them?
Well, I think it's the Arizona fans that are mad that we were being a little too realistic about expectations. And
I thought I was being nice to Arizona fans.
I didn't think we were being negative.
I didn't either.
We'll be perceived how people want to perceive us.
I got a question for you since we're done with this NC State thing. We got a couple of minutes here. Can I ask you a question since you have that hat on?
No.
And I'm being honest, just stay with me. Has there ever been a school that's had more head coaches that have left the program and gone somewhere else than LSU?
It's a good question.
You know, I think of Nick Saban, I think of Les Miles, and then Paul.
Yeah, but Les Miles got let go, though, so it's like...
Yeah, but, I mean, still. I mean, Paul was kind of pushed out, too. I mean, and the older LSU fans won't say that Nick was pushed out, but power struggle happened. He goes to Miami. All of them in their own way had their own quirky way of being pushed out.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of anyone else who's had a lot of coaches leave.
I don't know.
Not exactly been a lot of consistency.
National championship winning head coach who was also at Notre Dame. By the way, you want to hear a crazy story, you Notre Dame fan? Do you remember Jeff Samardzija?
Love Jeff Samardzija.
Paul Maneri, who is the former Notre Dame and LSU head coach, went to, I think, Charlie Weiss, maybe it was, or Brian Kelly. I can't remember. I think it was Charlie Weiss, maybe. And told Charlie Weiss to, and I'm quoting, tell Jeff Samardzija he's too slow and white to play wide receiver. He needs to come pitch.
He got drafted in the first round. People forget that.
He did. He sure did.
By the Buccaneers.
He sure did. So, you know what's funny about that? He also played baseball.
Well, yeah, no, he was a pretty good pitcher for a long time.
He was a really good
pitcher. He would have been better in the NFL.
Nah, he's too slow. I'm just going off of what Paul Maneri said. I don't know. What am I supposed to know? He coached.
Oh, wait, Maneri was the guy who was just hired by
South Carolina.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know he was at Notre Dame.
Yeah, he was a Notre Dame head coach. Sure was. Came from LSU has taken two Notre Dame head coaches.
Did LSU fire him?
No, he just got pushed out. He retired, quote unquote.
What was he doing?
LSU taking two Notre Dame head coaches?
It actually is weird. I had no idea that happened.
Oh. Interesting.
In the show.
Okay. We will see y'all again on probably not on Father's Day.
Oh, shit. Yeah. Sunday's Father's Day, right? Okay, so we'll be back on Monday.
We'll see. I don't know if we're doing anything Sunday. So, you know, we can't go on Mother's Day, but we can definitely probably go on.
No, it's your day.
I'd rather do this than sit them. I can get away for an hour.
All right, we'll figure it out.
Until then, we'll see y'all soon. You all have a good one. Peace.
Rack up the deals on everything summer at Nordstrom Rack and get brands you love up to 60% off. Vince, Kate Spade New York, Steve Madden, Madewell, Nike, and more. Great brands, great prices every day at Nordstrom Rack. Just in dresses, tops, shorts, sandals, sneakers, denim, luxury bags, and sunglasses. Rack up the deals today and save up to 60% on summer at your Nordstrom Rack store.